This is Radio Superior 1944, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1944. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now into the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
You're listening to the voice from the head of the lake, station KUWS. This is Jack McKenna reminding you, hasten the homecoming by Victory Bonds. It's Tuesday night, May 15th, 1944. Lou Martin is standing by with the World News Roundup. I'll have the forecast for our area and for the English Channel. And today we honor those who have given their lives for our nation on this Memorial Day. We have the scoop on today's parade and ceremonies. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Ekstrom's Clothing Store. For graduation, communion, or confirmation, they have boys' suits starting at $10.95. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The first Axis capital will be in Allied hands soon. Only days after the Nazi retreat from Monte Cassino, General Mark Clark has declared Rome will fall in a matter of days. We begin our shortwave world news roundup from Naples.
This is Italy, Naples calling. Your reporter, Nolan Norgard, here. After repulsing strong overnight attacks from Nazi forces, General Mark Clark's 5th Army infantry and tanks continue to move up Italy's boot toward Rome. Even as the Germans offered savage resistance, General Clark told reporters here that Rome would fall before many days. The 5th Army is making what HQ calls satisfactory progress through the natural defenses just south of Rome, with the Allied 8th Army striding swiftly through the Sacco Valley. None of the sweating, hard-fighting American troops in this uphill battle from the Anzio beachhead, nor the Sherman tanks attacking the anti-guns hiding amongst groves and ravines, can see Rome. But artillery observers flying over the beaches can see the Eternal City and its seven hills. Armored spearheads consolidated gains west of the Anzio-Albano Road. Major German resistance continues as GIs encounter hastily sown minefields, crude fortifications, and heavy tanks. German artillery is heavy on forward American elements. Units of the Hermann Göring Division were counterattacking around Artena and Highway 6 overnight. But that has been driven back with considerable enemy losses. Optimism here is high, but the price already paid since landing in Italy last summer is not forgotten. At Allied headquarters in Naples, this is Nolan Norgard calling Allied front lines. Come in, Wes Gallagher.
This is Wes Gallagher with the Fighting 5th Army. We're about 15 miles from Rome itself. Resistance remains stiff, but we are on the slopes of the Alban Hills attacking retreating German tank and mobile infantry units. Headquarters today declared that three of the 18 German divisions engaged in this battle since the offensive began May 11th have been destroyed, with the rest in tatters and retreating. 15,000 German prisoners have been taken. The 5th Army has punched northward to Campoleone, the closest penetration to Rome so far. But this is hellish fighting. Artillery remains heavy from both sides, and snipers are everywhere. The German retreat is orderly and strategic. With the Fighting 5th Army, this is Wes Gallagher calling London. Come in, Walter Cronkite.
London calling, Walter Cronkite, United Press reporting. More than 2,200 American bombers and fighters fanned out over Europe in record strength for the third straight day. This pre-invasion raid is a 10-pronged attack on Nazi aircraft factories, air domes, and rail yards in Germany, France, and Belgium. About 1,000 flying fortresses and liberators were accompanied by 1,200 Thunderbolts, Lightnings, and Mustangs. The main weight of the massive onslaught was directed at factories and airdromes. This is a campaign to cripple Nazi aerial facilities before D-Day. Berlin Radio was the first to report the new attack on Germany. It said American aircraft were engaged in heavy battles on the Elbe Valley west of Berlin. Coastal reports indicate the pre-invasion bombardment is reaching a peak tempo, with hundreds of bombers sweeping along the coastal defenses. Rocket-firing Typhoons and Spitfires are targeting rail sheds and radio installations in northern France. In London, This is Walter Cronkite.
A neutral free invasion report said today that small German military units are over France to cope with the expected onslaught of thousands of Allied airborne troops on D-Day. It's now being disclosed that Major General Lucien Truscott was in command of Allied troops on the Anzio beachhead in mid-February until General Mark Clark took command to direct the May 11th offensive. The 49-year-old Texan apparently relieved another American general who had not been aggressive enough in the push to get off the bloody Anzio beachhead. Truscott arrived as commander of the 3rd U.S. Infantry. That division, which had led through Sicily last summer and the beginning of the Italian campaign. A second German counterattack almost pushed the Allied invasion at Anzio into the Mediterranean Sea. An exchange of prisoners of war will bring home scores of American, British, Irish, and Canadian soldiers. The liner Gripsholm is sailing for the U.S. after dropping off British soldiers and soldiers needing hospital care. A shipload of German POWs was unloaded in Barcelona. Irish soldiers of the British Army say the bomb damage in Berlin was great. Since the enforced migration of 110,000 persons of Japanese ancestry from the West Coast in 1942, 22,000 of those people have found new homes and jobs in Midwest cities. The War Relocation Board reported that most have resettled in Chicago, but also a sizable number settled in Colorado, Utah, Ohio, and Michigan. The Relocation Board says that there has been generally no hostility or discrimination against the evacuees in those states. An international organization dedicated to preserving the peace and avoiding a Third World War will be discussed in Washington. Secretary of State Cordell Hull issued invitations to representatives of China, Russia, and Britain to plan the organization. This is happening a quarter of a century after the League of Nations was set up. KUWS Radio News Time, 6:07. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Indeed I have, Lou. And everybody knows that for graduation, communion, and confirmations, boys need a suit. Funny you should mention it, Jack. I know. Ekstrom's has them, and at a good price right now. In Superior, boys' suits. Smart spring suits, oh yeah. $10.95 to $29.95. Take your choice. Sport coats. Regular guys will appreciate these casual three-button styles in the wanted patterns. $10.95 to $15.95. What did I tell you? Need slacks for that young man? How about $2.95 to $5.95 for payment? Not bad. Boys' jackets, $2.95 to $6.95. I could go on and on, but why don't you go down to Ekstrom's yourself? Pick out what you want for your son. You better take him with you so you get the right size. Ekstrom's, Tower Avenue in Superior.
The dead of World War II were honored in Memorial Day services today. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Good evening, Lou. The dead of all wars were remembered across Superior and Douglas County today, but those killed in the 2.5 years of war are fresh in everyone's mind. There are few people who have not lost a friend or member of their family. Not including servicemen listed as missing in action, 47 men from Douglas County have died in this war so far. Ray Kremple of Station B in Douglas County was the first killed in action in February of 1942. Then Ralph Anderson of Superior was killed in the Battle of Java in the South Pacific in March of 1942. Another 45 would die in far-off places. I tallied those places from this long list. 22 were killed in training accidents or ailments stateside. 7 died in Pacific battles of Java, the Philippines, and 2 at Guadalcanal. Another 4 lost their lives in New Guinea. 2 died in North Africa, 1 in Gibraltar, 4 in bombing runs over Germany, and the latest killed, 5 in Italy. Those 47 names are listed in Douglas County's Wall of Honor, Lou.
Thanks, Mike. The parents of Sergeant Grant Putnam of Superior learned that their son was awarded an Air Medal for bravery while flying missions in the India-Burma theater. A member of Colonel Philip Cochran's Air Command Force, Sergeant Putnam disregarded danger to himself while flying missions of mercy, reconnaissance, and supply. German prisoners of war will be pea pickers in Wisconsin. The commander of the 6th Service in Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula, the Colonel William McCarty, says that 14 sites have been chosen to house 3,000 of these prisoners. The camps in our region will be at St. Croix Falls and Rice Lake. The POWs will also pick corn later this summer. The war-reduced class of 44 graduated from the University of Wisconsin Saturday at the 91st commencement exercises. Capitol reporter John Powell has more from Madison.
The class of 1944 is half the size of last year's class, and two-thirds of the 650 graduates are women. Not since 1919, the year after the First World War, has the university seen a smaller class. 551 graduated that year. University of Wisconsin President Clarence Dykstra told graduates it's their duty to forge a lasting peace. In somber tones, he reminded them that 12,000 University of Wisconsin students and alumni had already, quoting now, marched to battlefronts all over the globe. In a brief talk, Governor Walter Goodland also referred to the aftermath of the war. Quoting him, "The battle has not yet been won, but the black clouds are lifting to admit the bright rays of the sunshine of victory and peace. The tasks that confront us on the road to a permanent peace and security are even larger and more challenging." End quote. In Madison, this is John Powell speaking.
And finally, good listeners, Major Richard Bong got another zero yesterday, but not the Japanese kind. He and a party of six tried their luck trolling off Lake Superior's Apostle Islands. Included in the party were his girlfriend Marjorie Vattendall and his best buddy Marvin Peterson, along with his sisters Nelda and Jerry. Even though they came up empty-handed, the group had a great trout dinner at the Hotel Bayfield, guests of the Bayfield Commercial Club.
You suppose, Lou, when those fish see who's fishing, they take a dive?
They've never invited us to go fishing, Lou. Doggone it. You knock down a few enemy planes and everybody's your friend.
Life just isn't fair, is it?
Lou Martin, folks. Yes, sir, the fairest newsman around. Now let's check our two forecasts for this Memorial Day, May 30th, 19 and 44. First, for the Dover Strait, that's England, of course. It's sunny and a blazing 88 degrees over those white cliffs with a calm sea. Those are the white cliffs of Dover, by golly, just like in the song. And for our neck of the woods, mostly fair and continued warm. Tonight's low, 65, with a high tomorrow near 85. Wee-wee. For this Memorial Day, I thought we'd start things off with Benny Goodman and his orchestra. For sweethearts separated by the war, here's These Foolish Things Remind Me of You on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Conquered me when you did. that make my heart a dancer. A telephone that rings, but who's to answer? Oh, how the ghost of you cleans these foolish things, remind me of you.
Benny Goodman and his orchestra with the vocals of Lilton Martha Tilton. And These Foolish Things Remind Me of You. On station KUWS, of course. Hey, friends, on this Memorial Day 1944, the First National Bank of Superior reminds us that they counted not the cost. Can any of us do less if we are to be worthy of the heroes we honor on Memorial Day? The fifth war loan drive begins June 12th. And the First National Bank hopes you will show your gratitude for their sacrifice. Put Superior over the top and buy more bonds than before. Now, with that important message, let's roll on with this number from Chico Marx and his orchestra. And we must be vigilant on the Martin and McKenna Memorial Day Show.
We must be vigilant, American patrol. With arms for the army, ships for the navy, let this be our goal. We must be diligent, we must be diligent, American patrol. Protect our shoreline to the doorline of every native soul. We need this solidarity, or else divided we will fall. It means the popularity of peace and happiness for all. Behind this cause we must keep rallying, let there be no dilly-dallying. Keep us free from shilly-shallying, hark to freedom's call. On the land, in the air, on the sea, everywhere.
Hey, hey, that's new from Chico Marx and his orchestra, and we must be vigilant on station KUWS. And now this is his brother Harpo's orchestra.
I don't hear anything.
Natch, that's because Harpo's the silent Marx brother.
Someday soon, I hope that I think before walking in to one of your jokes.
Even I saw that one coming.
Let me introduce Douglas County Draft Board number one chairman, Colonel Joe Raffaele. He's here to talk about today's solemn observances. I understand things were pretty basic this year.
Well, yeah, it was on account of the war.
No, isn't that ironic?
Look, McCorkle, it's not...
Would be nice if you two could get along for once, seeing how this is Memorial Day and all.
But it is ironic.
Yeah. Corkle's right. It seems especially sad to us doughboys from the World War The war President Wilson said was to make the world safe for democracy, to end all wars, that, well, with so many of our men off defending Uncle Sam this year, so many others working hard in the shipyard supporting those fine men and women at the battlefront, and heck, the gas shortages, the crowds were going to be down this year.
I was at the Greenwood Cemetery. It was a nice ceremony. I especially liked it when flower girls Mary Standard and Donna Mae Gonzer laid wreaths at the soldiers' circle. And the firing squad salute to the dead, followed by taps. That was pretty moving.
Well, that was George McCart was on that bugle this year, and well, you don't have a heart if you weren't moved by that.
I didn't think the colonel got emotional, except mad.
I got a heart, and it was a busy day today. I was at the Ashland services, too. The Roy Kelly Legion Post had services this morning and then a parade. Good people there.
Sounds like you need some cheering up, Colonel.
I don't feel like getting cheered up. You know, being the draft board chairman's a lonely business. People move to the other side of the street when they see me coming. It isn't easy knowing we're sending our boys in harm's way, especially on days like today.
Wow. Hey, Colonel, this'll pick you up. You like a good, rousing number.
Yeah, not that stuff you call music, that noisy jazz stuff.
No, you'll like this one. For the Colonel, then, here's Captain Glenn Miller and the American Expeditionary Band on the Martin and McKenna Memorial Day 1944 show.
And now, just to get you in the mood, here's In the Mood.
Glenn Miller and his latest recording from London. That's In the Mood, just for you, Colonel.
He's a captain, huh? That's all right.
I've got a guest on his way, just for the Colonel. But while we wait, I'd like to congratulate First Lieutenant Alto Dolan of Superior. Lieutenant Dolan was awarded 3 Oak Clusters for missions flown in the South Pacific. The awards were presented this month for missions flown under very hazardous conditions and anti-aircraft fire.
Lots of brave boys out there fighting for Uncle Sam. Hey, who's this guest you say you've got coming here to cheer the old colonel up? Jinx Fultonberg would do the trick.
That movie starlet will cheer any guy up.
Now, now, boys, let's not drift into the land of temptation. Even though Miss Fultonberg is, what do the soldiers call her? A pin-up favorite, I believe. Is that right? A pin-up?
I have the honor to introduce Superior Diocese Bishop William O'Connor. Thank you for coming on such short notice.
Oh, not at all, not at all. I'm here to serve the soldiers, even the retired ones.
You brought a bishop here for the colonel?
Father Bill, hey, you're a sight for sore eyes. Sorry about that Jinx Blackenberry thing.
That's Falconberry.
Falconberg.
I may be a bishop, but I understand, my son.
I remember that you two crossed paths during the First World War, so I thought if you could stop by and say a few words, it might help all of us.
Yeah, we used to call him Father Bill. He refused to carry a gun, but was in the trenches with us doughboys. If a man were wounded out there in no man's land, well, Father Bill, he was there to pull him back in. He may be a bishop, but he's a man first.
We'd like to think so. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
On that note, then, let's hear one more number tonight. For Father Bill, here's a new one from Bing Crosby, which was composed in 1913 by Irish composer James Shannon.
Ethan Begara, I'm sure to like this one.
Ethan who?
Here's Tura Lura 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 on the Martin and McKenna Memorial Day Show.
Tura Lura Lura Lura. Tura-lu-ra-la, tura-lu-ra-lu-ra. Hush, now don't you cry. Tura-lu-ra-lu-ra, tura-lu-ra-la, tura-lu. That's an Irish lullaby. Over in Killarney, many years ago, me mother sang a song to me in tones so sweet and low. Just a simple little ditty in her good old Irish way, and I'd give the world if she could sing that song to me this day.
Wake up, Lou. Bing Crosby's latest hit, Tura Lura Lura, for Father Bill on Station KUWS. I've got an idea to cheer everyone up. How about some war stories about the fellows you fought with over in France?
Hey, now you're using your noodle, McMartin.
I'm not so sure that would be a good idea.
I'm a little hesitant on that one, too.
How about the one where we had leave at this little French village? I forget the name.
And even if you remembered it, you'd forget it.
Yeah. Well, that's where we found this wine cellar. And a whole troop of Red Cross nurses. And Cecil Stump. You remember? He's from some place in the hills of Carolina. I forget the name, but I...
Oh, for heaven's sakes. I remember the Stump story, and I'm afraid that's not a tale God-fearing listeners would want to hear.
Yeah, right. No Stump story. Well, how about the time we kicked the Hun out of that other little French place? Old what's-its-name, you know, they spelled it one way, pronounced it another way. Yeah, you know how those Frenchies are good people, but they talk funny. Well, let me tell you, those village gals were so happy to see us doughboys, and come to think of it, Stump was in that story, too, and it was...
No Stump stories, Colonel. Maybe this isn't such a good idea.
I've got a better one. There's a new movie playing at the Superior Theater with Cary Grant and John Garfield. I think you'd like it, Colonel. It's called Destination Tokyo.
There's no leading ladies either, so it won't have all that mush in it.
Oh, I'd like to tag along if you don't mind. It's been a while since I've seen a flicker at the Nickelodeon.
Apparently, it's been a real long time.
Just us guys, the boys, the gang. Afterwards, I'll buy everybody a beer.
Oh, it's been even longer since I've been in the saloon.
Well, maybe we can get in a bar brawl just for you, Father.
It's probably been a long time since the bishop's been in jail, too.
Oh, you jokesters, you.
Stay tuned tonight, folks, for Ed Sullivan, followed by Blondie, Bob Hope, and Red Skelton. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. That is the good Lord willing.
I can assure you, he is.
Then, for Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1944, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by John Munson, Tom Martinson, Ray Paulson, Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1944 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.